dare say this man was there last night. We'll bring him in, Jared. It's our soccer expert, Phil Moss. Phil, good morning.
Good morning, Ray. Morning, Jared.
Hey, Phil, were you there last night at the local derby?
Unfortunately, I wasn't, mate, but okay. I made my living room the pseudo Bankwest Stadium, but, mate, it was just a thrilling night at Western Sydney Wanderers, and Bankwest Stadium put the Sydney Derby firmly back on the agenda of the A-League season, and it was great to see. It was the first time I've been really looking forward to a derby in a good few years because of the form of both teams. Obviously, they got their season's off to 2-2. And it was, you know, it was the closest thing going into the game. But I think Bankwest and what that place is just phenomenal. It was a real event last night. You could see it jumping through the TV. And just a shame I couldn't be out there in person to witness it.
Well, Jared, I'll dive in here because I just want to cut to the chase with Phil Moss. Was that a goal by Sydney FC? Was it over the line?
Look, to the naked eye, Ray, yes, of course. And, you know, people will call me one-eyed, of course, because of my time at Sydney. But, look, I thought it was. But, you know, at the end of the day, if I'm Stevie Corriker, I'm waking up this morning, I'm not looking at that. I'm not looking at the possible handball. I'm looking at how many chances we created, the fact that we didn't, you know, we didn't control things, our own destiny, by taking our chances. But that's a positive as well. If Sydney FC play like that each week and create that many chances, they're going to win a lot more football games than they lose. And Western Sydney, credit to them, full credit to them, because they really toughed it out. Mitchell Duke scored a fantastic goal off the back of a Paolo Retre mistake for Sydney FC. They capitalised on the transition moment and then really dug deep and rolled their sleeves up and showed a fight that Western Sydney haven't showed for many a season. So they really announced themselves as being back in business last night.
So what you're saying, Mossy, is that my bet on the draw should have been a winner.
Well, look, I can understand that during the week a lot of people were firming up on that draw, and I can understand why. As I said, Jared, they were probably the most evenly matched going into this game as they have been in many a season. So I can understand that. I tipped Sydney FC. I thought they were going to win it. I thought they had enough players with experience of how to win the derby. And really, they should have won on the night, but they didn't. And as I said, full credit to Western Sydney. The next derby, I think, at Jubilee will be absolutely humming again. There was talk of maybe moving it to Bankwest. I would hate to see that happen. I think fortresses are so important in football, and it builds that tribalism and the rivalry. And if Sydney FC were to move a game, that would be akin to, you know, Liverpool moving a game to Old Trafford. And I think Robbie Slater said that on air last night. I'd hate to see it.
Yesterday I was a little bit tied up, so I tracked down the score in the EPL yesterday morning. I thought it was a basketball score. They'd put the wrong score in. Leicester, 9-0.
Quite remarkable, Jared. It was. I watched the game too, and it was just. It was one of those games that was played in atrocious conditions, but everything Leicester touched turned to gold, and everything Southampton touched turned to stone. So, one of those games. But I tell you what, the headline out of this game, aside from Leicester's scintillating form in front of goal, and credit to them with a Perez and Vardy hat trick, but Ralph Hasenhüttl, the manager for Southampton. Now, after a game like this, of course, the first headline you read is manager's under pressure, manager will be sacked tomorrow. The second headline, I'm pleased to say, was from the board, saying he has our absolute and full backing, and this is not a cosmetic statement. There are players... No, that's what I thought, Ray. But there are players who will go long before this manager goes. We believe in wholeheartedly in his... in his belief in football and the style of football he wants to play. We haven't got players that suit that system yet, so be prepared for a squad overhaul. Hey. I tell you what, it's a game changer. It's counter-cyclical, if you like, because usually it's the manager that goes. But in this case, Southampton are sticking firm, and you'd really believe it. The conviction they came out with that statement was fantastic.
Well, they've put the players on notice, haven't they, Mossy?
That's right. Now, how often do you see that, right?
No, 100%. Hey, Phil, Man City, they're starting to build now, aren't they? 3-0 against Aston Villa. I know Liverpool have a game in hand. They play Tottenham tonight, but they're starting to build nicely, defending premiers.
They are, but have you ever heard of Manchester City in a relegation scrap, Ray?
No. Oh, well, no, it's been a long time. Been a long time.
Yeah, a long time. Here's one for you. Pep Guardiola came out after the game and said, if we're going to play like we did in the first half, we'll be in a relegation scrap. not chasing the title. If we play like we do in the second, did in the second half, then we'll be up there fighting for the title. So really put his players on notice. He wasn't happy with that first half against Villa. Second half, they turned it on and showed just why they are such a great EPL side and the defending title holders. So, just a good little slap across the chin for his players last night. Don't take your eye off the ball, because Liverpool, you know, they're 3 points and could be six if they beat Spurs ahead. Mm-hmm. And, you know, defending your title is the hard part.
And what about Matty Ryan's Brighton? Another 3 points, 3-2 win over Everton.
That's right, Gerald. Well, a couple of weeks ago, Matty Ryan watched the 94th minute goal go past his grasp for Brighton to lose. Last night, it was the opposite end of the field, much to his delight. It was an own goal in the 93rd minute by Everton that gave Brighton the points. And they were good value. It was a very seesawing game. Got to 2-2, obviously, and then Everton conceded that own goal in the 93rd minute to give Brighton the points. Very important 3 points for Brighton at home.
And Chelsea just keep winning, Phil.
Frank Lampard's era, Ray. It's gaining momentum. This is their fifth straight win in all competitions, including that Champions League win during the week. And you know, they really are starting to hum along quite nicely. And if you think about it, you know, losing Eden Hazard in the off season to Real Madrid as well. Lampard has made that look like a minor loss, which is quite remarkable. They're playing a really good brand of football. They're probably, behind Liverpool and Man City, they're probably the third most watchable team in the EPL at the moment, the style of football they're playing. So long may that continue. Very different Lampard story to Solskjaer's story, two club legends coming back to their club as managers, and obviously Solskjaer struggling at Manchester United, but Lampard really starting to gain that momentum.
And Mossy, I know you've been poring over the form guide. My boys, Liverpool, $1.50 to beat Spurs tonight. Will that happen?
We're all singing from the same song sheet today. We're all Liverpool men.
It's so good.
Gerard, it's very much our boys, mate. Yeah. Not just your boys. There's three of us on this chat now that
we've cut the dead wood out.
As Jimmy would say.
I think that's why Jimmy left the show early this morning. He saw this coming. But look, who would have thought? Spurs struggling so much after reaching that Champions League final at the back end of last season, but Liverpool is so dominant over Spurs. Their record's one loss from the last 13, eight wins, four draws. They beat Spurs both times last season. They beat them in the Champions League final. So, you know, some will say that's dominance for Liverpool. Others will say that's a great motivator for Spurs. But I think at Anfield, Liverpool will be too strong in this one.
Three other games too to complete this round. Phil, Newcastle against Wolves, Arsenal play Crystal Palace, and Jimmy's team, Man U, they've got to find a way to win against Norwich.
They do. The Arsenal-Crystal Palace one's an interesting one. That's 56th in the league at the moment. I know we're only 10 games in, but there's 1 point separating them, Arsenal the fifth, and Crystal Palace the sixth, which is a great story in itself. And they're after back-to-back wins against Arsenal for the first time in their league football history. And Arsenal are yet to not score, if that makes sense, against Crystal Palace at home in the last 19 encounters. So you would expect goals to be in this one. Arsenal, I think, will be too strong, but only just. I think Crystal Palace will put up a good fight. And, you know, Emery's had to come out during the week and, I guess, justify his attacking brand of football, because in the top six teams, I think Arsenal are the second lowest scoring team behind, you guessed it, Crystal Palace. So I don't expect there to be a lot of goals in this one, but I think Arsenal will get home by the odd goal.
And Mossy, put things into context for me, last night's win by the Wanderers over Sydney FC. Obviously, the derby's back in town big time, but are they the real deal, the Wanderers? Can they win the title?
Oh, it's very early to say that, Jared. But you know, I think they're definitely showing all the good signs. I'm looking forward to seeing Muller get into that side. He's a creative midfielder / winger who likes to play inside. They obviously lost Majewski, who was going to be their real go-to creative midfielder. He's out for the season. So I think until we see how Muller, you know, gets in the side and what sort of player he is, his highlights reel looks phenomenal. Then you could go ahead and say that they're building towards being able to threaten for that title. They're coming from a long way back. The Wanderers haven't had good years the last three seasons away from home. But you just sense they've got their 12th man back now. That crowd will build. It was 28,500 last night, so there's not a lot of standing room left at Bank West. But you can see they're starting to... Like, they're starting to resemble their manager, Marcus Babbel. When they're on the pitch, he was a fighter. He was a winner. And you could see that shining through last night. So they're very good signs, but I'm not prepared yet to say that they're going to challenge the likes of Sydney FC, Perth, you know, for the title at the end of the season.
Yeah, it was interesting, wasn't it, Phil? Because I got home and saw most of the second half, and the one thing I noticed, even though Sydney FC were dominating territorially, was defensively the Wanderers players were putting their body on the line, and there was a real spirit there. Hey, Adelaide United had a big week. They won the FFA Cup, and then they backed up, beating the Jets 2-1 away. And for Robbie Fowler, first home game for the Roar, wasn't the result he wanted, losing 1-0 against Melbourne Victory.
That's right, Ray. And Adelaide had to come from behind. So that's a massive effort to go to Newcastle, which is a tough place to go, and go down a goal and then come back and win the game 2-1. And Riley McGree, who was a Newcastle player, left to go to Adelaide. You remember him being famous for the scorpion kick at that very ground. In the semi-final a couple of seasons ago. And, he scored two well-taken goals and got Adelaide back on track. But that midweek performance and result in the FFA Cup final was absolutely phenomenal. No one saw that coming. Mm-hmm. Melbourne City were doing well in the A after two rounds. Adelaide yet to win a game. And then didn't they turn it on in front of their home fans at Cooper Stadium? And, got the win yesterday, which is a perfect week for them. And Melbourne Victory, Andrew Naboot scored the goal for Melbourne Victory to get them home, and then went off with what looks like an injury that will keep him out for 2 to 4 weeks, which is unfortunate for Marco Kurtz, but very important for Kurtz to get his first 3 points in Melbourne Victory.
Hey, Phil, before we let you go, we'll get Jerry to chime in here. Mossy's multi for this weekend?
Well, I've believe it or not, I've already picked it and got it up.
Oh, well done! Outstanding.
That's handy.
Which is great. But that was on Friday. But if you look at the overnight games, I'm going to go with Liverpool and Manchester United. Liverpool into Manchester United. So Liverpool beat Spurs at Anfield, and Manchester United to get the points over Norwich away, which won't be an easy game, but I just think Manchester United will have too much for Norwich in this one.
What are the odds there, Jared?
Liverpool 150, Man U 185, so I guess it works out to around about the $2.50 quote if you're taking
that's
little multi tonight.
Not a
massive one, but you know, I'm on a roll, so I'll stick to the basics.
Good on you, Phil. Hey, I appreciate it, mate. Where are you calling from, by the way, Phil?
Well, I'm down at Rat Park on the Northern Beaches, about to watch my daughter compete in a cheerleading competition.
Okay, you're doing the important things in life. Good on you, mate. Father of the year, you.
Love it. Go Liverpool. Come on, boys.
Thanks, Phil. Talk soon, mate.
See you, boys.